Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention, please? We are starting the second panel of the day under the guidance and direction of Peter Callamy as the moderator. Peter has had, and you'll see from his bio in the program, a long and distinguished career in the business of journalism from practice to academe. And his particular constant theme was taking an understanding of science and communicating it to the public, and making that a theme that he followed in many applications in journalism. He has done it with extraordinary success and distinction and recognition. Peter, the panel.
Thank you, Bob. Well, we certainly have a reasonably hard act to follow. Anything that stretches all the way from recycled Viagra to water nerds is not going to be easily topped, but I think if you read the bios of the panelists in your program, you'll see that we certainly have the firepower to do that. I want to say just one word from an ancient memory, which is back in the mid-1970s. I was based in London, England, as a correspondent, and I went and did an interview with Barbara Ward, Lady Jackson, more formally, but Barbara Ward, as she was, sometime around about 75 or 76. This is so far back that this isn't in a database anywhere, so I couldn't look it up, right? This is in clippings, those old-fashioned things that they have in newspapers. And she was in the midst of writing a booklet for a UN conference, which I think might have been the Mar del Plata conference on water, sometime around 76. And she was definitely writing a booklet about water. She was also dying, and she knew she was dying, and she looked like she was dying, and she died very shortly afterwards. But she said, when we talked, she said, "I'm going to finish this book because there is nothing more important than bringing to the attention of people the vital need to deal better with water on our earth and what we do with it. It is the blood, lifeblood of the world." That was 1976 or thereabout, and from what we heard so far this morning, I don't think anything's changed in terms of the vital need and people's dedication to doing it. And maybe one of the ways into this problem, in addition to the governance issue which we heard about, is also to try to get the economics better understood and find the right economic levers to pull as well as the right leadership levers and the right political levers. So we're going to hear from our four panelists basically on that general theme, and we're going to start off with Professor Peter Brown.
And we're going to take 8 to 10 minutes.
Clock's not running yet, though, right?
No, not running yet.
It's this one here. This one.
There you go.
No, it's the wrong one.
Oops. Sorry, sir.
It's this one here. Okay, good. Thank you very much. So, thank you, Peter. And much of what I have to say will be is kind of a striking out in a new territory. I'm going to talk about water as a fiduciary good, and I think this relates very strongly to many of the things that have been said already, what Karen mentioned about the public trust doctrine, about the need for a sort of adequate spokesperson for water in Canada, that kind of thing. So I've put together a presentation on this conception, and I've relied very heavily on Richard Layan, who's here in the audience, who's a graduate student here at McGill in the Faculty of Law. And the strategy of this presentation is basically to look at the concept of a fiduciary good and fiduciary duties within the common law tradition. So I think it will complement what Madeline Kenton-Kuman will say, coming from the civil law tradition. And I hope these two presentations come together very well. Before I start, I should thank Robert Slater for mentioning Water Ethics, the book that Jeremy Schmidt and I have done. Jeremy's here in the audience. Also, I want to start with an image. This is from it's a painting by William Waterhouse, Ulysses and the Sirens. And this is a sort of metaphor, I think, for where we are. If you recall this story, Ulysses is warned by Circe that as he passes through this narrow place, he will be lured to his death by the sirens who sing these beautiful songs. And that's sort of what's happening to us, I think. You know, we are being lured, basically in a way, in a rather directly to the great demise of our civilization by the fact that we can't take the long view on things. And a lot of what I'm going to have to say questions whether everything can be left to democratic processes. I think the appalling story that David Schindler told last night about land use in Alberta, right, is really an indictment of our political institutions, that we are not able to construct a way of thinking about our relationship to the natural world that will assure its continued flourishing into the future. Our generation is basically in the process of unraveling something that took 3.8 billion years to put together. And we have to take a real hard look at the fact that the institutions we have in place at the provincial level and at the national level don't work. So we need to find some way to tie ourselves to the mast, right, to basically keep from running down the resource base. And one little element in that, I think, is to reclassify how we think about certain things like water. So that's basically what I'm going to do. So everybody knows this. Water is not substitutable, right? If you don't have water, you die. And it's not only true of humans, but, of course, of all life. And water underpins the interdependency we have among ourselves as a species and with life generally. And I think it's very important, as Karen and others have talked about, not to segregate off humans and say, well, human needs come first. This has to be looked at very much as an integrated system. Now, once you make that rather, I think, simple and uncontroversial step, you then can move, I think, reasonably comfortably into thinking about drawing upon the traditions of fiduciary law. And this is a quote from a very famous book by Leonard Rotman. But the basic notion is that if you have a good on which society depends in an interdependent way for long periods of time, that good can be thought of in the context of fiduciary law. This is an idea, of course, that is very familiar to us, I think. It's when any person has the power over some entity, some resource base or some funds or anything like that, with a duty to preserve and enhance that entity or that resource base for another, then there's a fiduciary relationship in that case. And I think what we have the wisdom to do now is to say, well, the other entity that's cared for is not necessarily a person, right? That we have to think about caring for life generally, or what I've called in my work, we have to think about the well-being of life's commonwealth in general, and we have a fiduciary obligation to do that. So the principal elements of this are very simple. We have to act in good faith in discharging our fiduciary duties and not to seek our own interests or put our own concerns first. And this fits into other sort of concepts in law where the law generally focuses on setting up the rules of the road, how we relate to each other. Equity is concerned with a dimension of the law where issues of fairness have not been dealt with adequately. And the fiduciary notion reaches past these limits and sets the interdependence of relationships as the point of departure for how we think and for what gets to be characterized as legitimate. And so what kind of a good is water? Well, it's not a public good, at least as an economist would understand this. It's better understood as a common good. Technically, it can be owned, but it's morally wrong not to provide it, right? So this is the fiduciary dimension, right? So water kind of straddles In some ways, it fits the private paradigm, but in other ways, it doesn't. And we have what this fiduciary conception does is to highlight the common dimension or the degree to which all things depend upon water. And if water is denied, I think I would argue either to a person or to another species, even if there's no legal recourse in this case, there is an injustice, right? There is an obligation to provide for the flourishing of other persons and other species, both. And in the fiduciary paradigm, the person who is discharging these duties may not weigh his or her own interests any more heavily than the interests of anybody else. So we need to really rethink our institutional structure, I think. Democratic national governance has limited success in protecting the integrity of the Earth's life support systems. We heard that at length from David last night. Many waterways are degraded. The St. Lawrence has been mentioned already. The Chateauguay River, near where I have a farm, very, very polluted. It's green, basically, in the summer. There are, from Jeremy's work, I know there are over-allocated rivers in southern Alberta, and there are even rivers, many, many, many rivers in the world now, including the Colorado, that don't even reach the ocean. Governments have been very poor at respecting their fiduciary duties to nature. We set up little parks here and there, but we don't really understand well and don't respond well to the complex interactive nature of the Earth's life support systems. And these examples, of course, are all over the place. Copenhagen is a poster child of the failure of current institutions to deal with our problems. The fiasco in Quebec with Mount Orford is another example of not recognizing a very simple and very clear fiduciary duties. And then, of course, we have the Alberta landscape. These are just some of the solutions that are out there. The fiduciary concept grounds a conception of justice toward life's commonwealth that transcends the limits of the current sort of political framework, which is individualistic. Political and an individualistic social, political, and legal frame of reference. So we have to explore the establishment of fiduciary trusteeships to protect water and other commons. And in Canada, you know, we have a rich tradition to draw on, which is the First Nations traditions, right, which have a world, in many cases, have worldviews or remnants of worldviews that allow for a much more respectful, thoughtful human nature relationship. And the trustee has at his or her disposal a number of means. The entity, water can be rationed, of course. We can use market mechanisms to achieve fiduciary goals. We could restore much of the damage that we've done to the natural world already. And, of course, certain kind of uses should be prohibited. Thank you very much.